Morning, brothers and sisters, friends. It is always good to come to Port Elizabeth, but not as good as staying in Jeffreys. You're close to paradise, but we are in paradise. Greetings from Jeffreys Bay Bible Church, and what a privilege to be part of Christ's church and to be part of His family, no matter where we are going. Jesus is everywhere, and He's living in His children. We are the church. Let us just pray before we preach. Lord, thank You for Your word, Your ancient word, and thank You that You are bringing us this morning to Your word, Lord, and thank You that You are working in our lives and that we are part of Your fold, that we are Your sheep. I pray for Your church, Lord, in our country. We are not a Christian country. There are Christians in South Africa, but Lord, we are a sinful country. There's murder, there's blood, there's stealing, there's fraud, all sorts of sins, Lord. And we sin. Lord, we need Your grace. We're a needy people, and I pray for South Africa. I pray, Lord, that You will bring us to that point where we bow the knee before Christ. I pray, Lord, that You will save many people, even this morning, where Your word is preached. Pray for Port Elizabeth, Kaberga. Pray for Jeffreys Bay, Lord. I pray for the towns, for Plett and for Port Alfred, Lord, that You will save people, that You bring people to repentance, that You will bring true revival in our hearts, Lord, because this is where it starts, within us. I pray, Lord, that not one will go out here this morning untouched, that You will speak to us through Your word and through Your spirit, and that we will go out and bring the gospel to the people, those who are lost. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is difficult to be a good citizen of South Africa at the moment. Millions of good, positive, peace-loving citizens in South Africa are exploited, lied to, and burdened with excessive taxes. It's almost as if our government is trying to break its citizens' last straw of hope with load-shedding fuel prices and ridiculous rules for business and citizenship. Mari and I never, ever before even spent a hint of thought on moving to another country, but I must say the past few weeks, for the first time ever, it came up in one of our discussions. It's really difficult to stay a positive citizen of South Africa. And I'm not saying that with a smile. It's sad that we must say this. But after thinking and praying about this, I realized anew, with great joy and pleasure, that we are not really citizens of South Africa. We are citizens of heaven. Amen? We are citizens of heaven. Now, more than ever before, is the time where we really should align our thinking with Christ. And this is what Paul meant when he said in Colossians 3 verse 2, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Now is not the time to be unsure about who we are. Now is the time when faith becomes reality. The times we are living in require that we set our minds above and truly believe God when He says we are citizens of heaven. If you are born again, you're a new person with a new identity. We have new identities because we were born into a new kingdom, God's kingdom. Amen? We were transformed, totally changed, like worms into butterflies, or pigs into beautiful kudus, or like Ford Rangers into Isuzus. We have a totally new nature in Christ. And some of us forget this. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, Paul wrote, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Remember, our new identity starts and ends in Christ Jesus. We are, through Jesus, children of our loving Father. Robbie Aliff preached a few weeks ago an amazing sermon titled, "It is Finished." You can do yourself a favor and go and look for that sermon. It is finished. Tetelestai. Jesus died on that cross once and for all, and through his death, we are now reconciled with God. We are sheep of his fold. We are citizens of his kingdom. And our Father, he's the Almighty Father who owns heaven and earth and everything on it. And we may call him Abba Father, which really means Daddy Father. He's a loving Father who listens to his children. We are God's children. We live in his country. Isn't that wonderful? And now this morning, I want to speak about our citizenship. It's really one idea. We are citizens of heaven. And if we can only remember that, that will be good. We are citizens of heaven. Let us read from Philippians 3. Please open your Bible, and you can keep it open there, because we will refer to the text. And you must make sure that I preach the word and not Willy. Philippians 3, and we will read from verse 18. Paul wrote, verse 18, "For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Thus far, the reading of the word. Our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven, did you read that? But what does this word citizenship mean? Well, it means citizenship. The original word comes from our city, or citizenship, or civil rights. The word properly signifies the administration, government, or constitution, or form of a republic or a state. MacArthur wrote this, quote, "The word was used to describe a capital city that kept the names of its citizens on a register," unquote. Does this sound familiar to you? Are our names not written somewhere in heaven's register? Yes, it is, because Jesus said in Luke 10 verse 20 the following, listen to this, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." If you are saved this morning, your name is written in a register in heaven. So in contrast to citizenship of this world, we are citizens of heaven. And I'm going to say it 1,000 times more. We are citizens of heaven. And Paul describes those who hold on to this world from verse 18. Let's read that again. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. You see, they live only for this world and temporary pleasures. They have a very, very low horizon, an earthly horizon. They only live for what they can see, touch, or taste. And isn't that so true of the time we are living in? People glory in their shame. That's what people enjoy nowadays. Sexual immorality, drunkenness, and indulge in the things of this world, the things money can buy. There's a lot of bragging and boasting nowadays about how drunk people were last night, how many girls someone can take to bed, how they cheated someone with a deal. People glory in their shame. And this is a sad state. They are citizens of this world. But then, when verse 20 starts, Paul wrote this beautiful word. Isn't that beautiful? But. The word but. Meaning, in contrast to the previous verses, our citizenship is in heaven. In contrast to those with minds set on earthly things, our citizenship is in heaven. So from verse 20 and 21, I want to remind you today that we are citizens of heaven. And the text gives us two truths about our citizenship. The first one is this. Currently, we are citizens of heaven camping on a journey. And secondly, in future, we will be citizens of heaven moving into permanent residency. Does that make sense? So let's look at our first point. First, we are citizens of heaven, but camping on a journey. We already have a home in heaven. Look at verse 20. There it stands. Our citizenship is in heaven. Not one day will be, but it is in heaven. Our citizenship in heaven is current and real today. Currently, we are on a journey towards home. We are travelers, living in tents, getting ready to go to our permanent home. Like the travelers in Europe, living in tents, knowing that they have South African citizenship. There are three questions I want to answer about our citizenship. And the first question is this: who gets citizenship in heaven? Very important question. Look at verse 20. Paul wrote, our citizenship, meaning those who are believers, those who are part of his church. How do you become a citizen of heaven? Well, nowadays, if you want to become a citizen of another country, it is almost impossible. It's a difficult process with many requirements. You have to have a certain amount of money in the bank. You need a degree or qualifications. You need a job or a job offer, etc. And then you need to stay a few years in that country before you can become an official citizen of that country. To become a citizen of heaven, there's only one requirement. One. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And here is the good news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can open with me at Ephesians 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Paul wrote this: "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is how we get citizenship in heaven. This citizenship does not cost you anything. Jesus paid the price for it. He died on the cross for our sins. Friend, we cannot gain citizenship of heaven through any works of any kind we do. We don't deserve it because we are all sinners, as Paul wrote in Romans 3. You can go and read the whole chapter. We are guilty before a holy God and rightly condemned to hell as punishment for our sins. We were enemies of the cross with minds set on earthly things. But Jesus died in our place, and therefore God has set us free from condemnation and gave us heavenly citizenship. Amen? As a gift, we don't deserve it. It's a gift. So when you hear the gospel and you believe it, you embrace it, you accept it, and you repent from your sin, you will be born again into a new realm. You'll be one of the chosen. And then you become a citizen of heaven. Repent and be saved. That's the message for South Africa. Repent and be saved. We're not just naturally all citizens of heaven. We need to be saved. We need to come to the point where we realize we are sinners. And it's so sad. No one is telling the lost that they are lost and that they are sinners. But that's where we must come to that point, on our knees, repenting, knowing that the Lord Jesus is the Lord. And then our heavenly ID states the following, and listen to this: Isaac Bacchus, or Gil, or Jessica, ID number 777123, citizen of heaven. And there's one stamp on that ID, the blood of Jesus Christ. And on that blood is written, forgiven. Amen? That's who we are. That's our ID. Believers are citizens of heaven. The second question is, where is this citizenship? Well, verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is the believer's home. John wrote in John 14, verse 2, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Wonderful. Maybe I can use our family as an illustration. You see, there's only three girls left. The five boys are working all over the show. And yeah, there are many times when we are not together as a family. Everyone lives and works all over the show, but some weekends they come home where we are a complete family unit. And then we feast, we eat, and we laugh, and we share stories. I am their father, and they are my children. We have a home, heaven. We were born into the household of our Father, and we are on our way home. We are travelers staying in tents, but soon we will be home and then we will feast with our Father. Surely we must look forward to this. Heaven is the saint city. It is a permanent, eternal city, and God is the builder. So why do some of us then hold on so anxiously onto our tents? Hebrews 11 verse 9 says, by faith Abram went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Do you groan, longing to put on your heavenly home? You see, this is all temporary. It's only a tent. Our real citizenship is in heaven, permanent and built by God. If this is true, surely it will affect our daily living. It seems like some Christians think we are now living in heaven. Heaven on earth, especially Western comfortable Christians. I mean, we have houses, we have cars, we have toys, etc. Our freezers are full of meat. Be honest. Many of us live very comfortable lives, almost as if in heaven. Those Christians who are living through wars and hunger, and those Christians who are persecuted at the moment, surely long for heaven. It is sad when people hold on to their tents, thinking that this is heaven, while the best is yet to come. It's like holding on to my favorite shirt. I had one until a few weeks ago. It's falling apart and there's only one arm left. Some of our men have underwear that's in that line of thinking. I'm not going to say more. And every time Mari tries to throw it away, I just can't let it go. And I have brand new shirts to wear, but that shirt, it must stay. It's time to tear that thing apart and throw it away. This tent we are living in. How do we apply this knowledge in our daily living? And this brings us to a third question. How does this citizenship influence our daily living? The Philippians were very proud of the fact that they were citizens of Rome. See, Philippi was a colony city of Rome. And even if they didn't live in Rome, they had the same rights and privileges than any other Roman citizen. They were proud to say, I'm a citizen of Rome. We can proudly proclaim we are citizens of heaven. Amen? Let's take a look at what that might mean. What does it mean to be a citizen of a country? Well, it means you serve and pay taxes to its government or king. Who's our king? Jesus Christ. We serve Jesus. It also means you serve its constitution. Where's our constitution? Here it is. The Bible. It also means you live and work towards the success of that country. The success of the advancement of the kingdom of God is now our life and work. The interests of heaven and God is what is important to us. Our thoughts are filled with it. Our affections are set on it. Our hearts are where our treasure is. Home is where the heart is. Heaven is our home. Our souls desire it. Our work and business now contains it. Our perspective is an eternal perspective. When heaven is your home, everything you do has an eternal goal. You think and make decisions based on eternal values. If you fall in love with a girl, you don't love like the world does, in lust and fleshly desire, but you love like a citizen of heaven loves, sacrificial, and you stay pure because this is the rule of heaven, and your lifestyle has eternal rewards then. Citizens of heaven do not move in with partners. They marry and they honor God's design. If a citizen of heaven does business, he doesn't do business as the world does business. He can never say, let's keep God out of this deal. Never. He has eternal values in mind, with a mind fixed on Christ. If a citizen of heaven does good deeds, he doesn't do it as the world does to draw all the attention. No, he does it with eternal rewards in mind, because he's building his eternal, permanent house in heaven. Campers do not build brick walls. And they don't put up strong roofs with wood and steel. No, they are ready to move quickly. Currently, we are citizens of heaven camping. We're on a journey. Doesn't this truth make you very happy? Surely this must stir our hearts. And surely this influences our daily lives. But this brings us to our second point, which will surely stir us even more. In future, we will be citizens of heaven moving into our permanent residency. We know now that we have heavenly citizenship, but there are still many wonderful things waiting for heavenly citizens. Things that we are looking forward to. And I just want to open three of them this morning. It's like gifts waiting to be opened. You know, we really have an exciting future, citizens of heaven. And the first gift is this, and it's real. Citizens of heaven will see Jesus return. Can you think about that? Can you just imagine that? Those who are alive when Christ returns will see him. The angel said in Acts 1 verse 11, and it's God speaking here, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, and I want us all to turn there, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. Let's read together, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Wonderful. The dead in Christ will rise first. And there's even a special reward for those who are looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4 verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Do you love his appearing? Are you looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ? There's a special crown of righteousness waiting to be rewarded to you. All who live in expectation of the coming of Christ, who anticipate with joyfulness, having buried the world and laid up all their hopes above, they will receive a crown of righteousness. The Lord Jesus will one day return for you and me. Secondly, look at verse 21. I'm back in Philippians 3, verse 21. Another gift. Citizens of heaven will receive glorified bodies. That's wonderful news. We won't be bound to gravity anymore. Glorified bodies. We will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Our bodies will be like his glorious body. A glorified body. Like Jesus Christ. And we will not be bound to this earth anymore. Let me read a few more texts to confirm this truth. Romans 8 verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Heaven. Verse 19. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." 8 verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." What's going to happen with our bodies? Well, the answer is in 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, just like that, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." Meaning those who are alive when Christ returns. "We will be changed, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Sure. We think too much about this tent and this day and today. We will become immortal beings. Free from this tent. And how will this even be possible? The text answers that question. Look at the last part of verse 20-21. By the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus has the power to change the nature of anything. Remember how he changed water into wine, which is of a totally different chemical substance. Remember how he commanded a storm and the sea calmed down. Remember how he fed 5,000 people with two fishes. This same Jesus will change our bodily nature to adapt to the requirements of our heavenly home. See, this flesh cannot enter our heavenly dwelling. It's impossible. You need a glorified body to go in there, in that home. It's a specially made place by Jesus Christ. And only Jesus can clothe us with this new body. And only those who currently have heavenly citizenship can receive this glorified body from Jesus. This must be a blood-bought, Bible-believing body to be able to receive a heavenly body. And there's another gift, a third gift in future. Citizens of heaven take up permanent residency in heaven. Some people think the ultimate citizenship you can get is American citizenship. And they apply for the green card lottery and all sorts of things, and those who get that green card rejoice because they can be part of the American dream. And for many, it just stays a dream. I can assure you, American citizenship is like rubbish in comparison with heavenly citizenship. Because heavenly citizenship is not only a dream, it is reality. Listen to what John wrote about our future. And brothers and sisters, again, this is truth. This is real. It's not a vague dream or a pie in the sky. This is what a citizen of heaven will receive in future. And I want again to ask you to read with me from Revelation 21. It's the last book in the Bible, so it's easy. Revelation 21. And let's read from verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Revelation 22 from verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Wonderful things for our future. Gifts that lies ahead to be opened by citizens of heaven. Brothers and sisters, we are not citizens of heaven based on any green cards or based on the family we were born into. We are not citizens of heaven based on the church we are in, the amounts of money we give, or the good deeds we are doing. We are citizens of heaven because Jesus bought us with his precious blood. This citizenship can only be acquired through being born again, through believing in Jesus Christ. We are citizens because we are born into God's kingdom. God's kingdom is current, but it's also eternal. Today we live in tents. Tomorrow we will live in eternal homes. Important today is how this knowledge will influence our behavior. If you know you're a citizen of heaven, will you be anxious about your next meal or your finances? Or worry about your health or death? Because why? Death will just bring us into permanent residency. Or get depressed by our current South African citizenship. Or hold on to your precious tent stuff. Our money, the furniture, the TVs, the cell phones, all this stuff. This knowledge of heaven and of the beautiful future ahead of us should encourage us to be busy with eternal reward things, eternal stuff. It should cause us to forget our petty little conflicts, pleasures, jealousies, and anger issues. It should cause us to care for others, to love others, to share the gospel so that they also could come to Christ and become citizens of heaven. There's a quote that I want to read here. I don't know who wrote the quote, but quote, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. Unquote. We fail in these things. We fall short. But if a citizen of heaven fails, what can he do? We can confess. We have the privilege of confession and repent and then carry on with our journey in our tents. Perhaps you forgot that you're a citizen of heaven and you are worried or despondent or depressed by our current situation. Confess this and bring it to Jesus, who is ready to forgive and who is ready to lead us on our journey to our heavenly dwelling. Let the matters of God be more important to you than any other thing on earth. Citizens of heaven, worship together, pray together, hope together. Citizens of heaven want others to become citizens, and the gospel is central in their lives. They don't care what people say. They proclaim Christ boldly because this is what good citizenship is about. Citizens of heaven obey the laws of heaven, share in the privileges of heaven, and bow before the King of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. This is who we are. Be ready to jump right through that tent's roof when Jesus returns or call you home. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that your blood flowed on that cross. That it was part of your eternal plan to save people. Thank you that you've chosen us to be part of your kingdom. And Lord, we know we're a needy people. We sin and we fail many times. Every day we sin. Every day we fall. But we know that you're a God of grace. That we can come to you. That we can come to the cross. That we can bow the knee. That we can confess. And that we know you will forgive us. Thank you for heaven. Thank you that you made us citizens of heaven. Thank you for that comfort. Thank you for this encouragement. And I pray, Lord, that we will never, never, ever forget this. In Jesus' name, amen.